to be here, and we appreciate the opportunity to open the scripture tonight. My wife and I are involved in a ministry we call CPR Ministry. It stands for Church Planning and Recovery. We are not church planners as such. We're a life support ministry for church plants and churches that are in decline, and that seems to be more of our focus than anything, and also for churches that are trying to get orderly and get to grow, and we teach a lot of Sunday school leadership clinics. I'm interested in teaching leaders in the church and helping build leadership in the local church for sustainability. And so I was a youth pastor for 23 years, and that's how this happened. Okay. I still have nightmares occasionally about some of them. I had some boys, I wanted to kill them and tell God it was suicide, you know. Our family doctor is a kid out of my first youth group now. And kind of a crazy coincidence happened to us. And I told him, I said, Ty, you either do me right or I'll bring the photo album. And the nurses are like, bring it, bring it, bring it. So I haven't done it yet. He's been pretty good for us there. But, yeah, I did that for 23 years. And then I pastored in Northeast Ohio, right in the snow belt, right on Lake Erie. I do know what lake effect snow looks like. So I wasn't alarmed about the possibility of snow. That didn't bother me. And we do live back down south now in the southeastern United States, about 17 miles south of Chattanooga, Tennessee. If you'd like to, we'll try to tell you what we can about our ministry. If you want to, see me after service or something and I'll get you a prayer card, you can go on our website and look us up and see what we're doing and a couple of things about that. And I'd just be tickled to have anybody that wanted to come on to the workshop, to the Sunday School Leadership Clinic. It's one of my things I'm really passionate about. I've taught 50 of those. This will be our 51st, and our 50th was at Pastor Ron Tobin's just a few weeks ago. And so we certainly have a good friendship there. But this will be our 51st workshop, and then we're going to make another little circle. We'll wind up in Ohio for our 52nd here in just a few weeks in November. And so you pray for us as we go there. Why don't you open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and let's just think there for a little while tonight. I want to try to be respectful of the time. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let's look at the first verse and just kind of pick a few things out, kind of set the stage there, and then have some thoughts about this thing there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a couple of brief things about this greeting here. Paul was a man, obviously, here in his greeting, who loved the will of God. He longed for the will and the work of God to be done in his life. I don't know about you, but that's my desire. I want God to have his will and his way in my life. I want the word. And, you know, sometimes the will of God takes you places that are a little surprising. And sometimes the will of God takes you through some dark valleys and some things that you have to live with, some things that you are looking at and maybe scratching your head about and wondering exactly what in the world is going on in your walk and in your way. Look, if you would, in verse number 3 now. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, he's given us a greeting, and he's talked a little bit about the word, the will of God, and the workers of God, and the work of God, and the worshipers of God, and he's given us some things there. But now he's going to open, now that he's finished his greeting, he's opening up with two important things, and he makes some statements about an attitude that he has toward God, and when he says, blessed be God. That's a personal assurance that God's good. And that God has his best interest in heart. You know, God's got your best interest in heart. Sometimes, even when you don't understand what's going on, let me tell you, all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's the verse people use on each other at the hospital, you know. We as Christians, you know, somebody's laying there in mortal agony. Well, you know, all things work together for good. Them love God and all like that. Well, think about that. There is a great truth there, and we could spend an hour just on Romans 8, 28, and 29. But God's got a purpose and a plan to conform us to his image, and he takes us through various situations just to see that that takes place. But he's got an attitude toward God. He said, God's good. Even in the darkest of my midnight, And even in the most difficult of circumstances, I'm convinced of something, that God is still good. And then he talks about some attributes of God. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And I believe what he's saying is, listen, even in these times, I'm convinced that God is good. But even in those times when I can't come to the place where I understand what God's doing in the situations and circumstances of my life, I'm convinced of this even further, that he is the God of mercies and comfort. And that in that situation that I'm dealing with, in that dark valley that I'm going through, that the mercy of God is going to be there, and that God's comfort, that the comforting Holy Spirit is going to be there, and that maybe I can't understand, maybe I can't trace his hand, but I can certainly trust his heart. And look at the next verse, verse number 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we are ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Everybody's got problems, I guess you could say, of some sort. Problems are can be defined, I guess, as situations that defy our human ability to try to remedy them and make them better. And life is full of those things. Ecclesiastes, Solomon said this. He said that life is filled with vanity and vexation of spirit. And Solomon tried many things. He said, I've tried all sorts of things. He tried license and lust and liquors and all sorts of different things to try to give himself a trouble-free life. And he came to a conclusion. He said, life is filled with difficulties. Life is filled with troubles, with problems there. And there's a reason for that. What is the impact of the curse? Man was never intended to have to live under the curse. That was not the creation purpose, that man be cursed. That came as an after fact. Man was not intended to have to deal with all the curse of the physical world and all of the things that are going on and the imperfection here. Natural disasters, human sickness, and those were not a part of the original plan. And then there's the imposition of sin. Sin's made many messes. When men sin, there are consequences. And many times, there are many people, and perhaps some of you, you may be dealing with the consequences of a sin that you didn't even commit. There are little children today that are dealing with the consequences of an alcoholic father. There are little children that are dealing with the consequences of emotional and sexual abuse and things of that nature. There's wives that are dealing with abusive husbands. And so sometimes the imposition of sin comes upon us even from outside ourselves, but certainly from inside ourselves and the consequences of our own actions and deeds. Then there's the imperfection of man. Anything that man touches is subject to break. Anything that man builds is subject to disaster. We're imperfect. A good example is the space shuttle Columbia and Challenger that went up, two of the most magnificent pieces of hardware that have ever been conceived by the human mind, and yet they both failed. And there's a reason for that. They were built by sin-cursed men. It's just plain and simple. And to the lost, I guess problems could be summed up as, you know, the devil's walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But to you and I that are saved, the Bible speaks of not of problems. It uses a word. It doesn't use the word problem. It uses the word troubles. And they're different. Troubles for the believer are summed up in Romans 8:28-29. that all things do work together for good, and that God is trying to shape and mold us and conform us to his image. See, difficulties in the life of the believer are overruled by the sovereignty of God and the fact that he is in control and in charge, and there are no accidents. You will never go through a situation. If you're born again, you're never going to go through a situation or a difficulty in your life that God looks at that thing and says, wow, that one caught me by surprise. Man, that's a shocker. I didn't know that was coming up. I kind of blindsided me. I got to come up with a plan here, some kind of alternatives for this believer. It's never going to be that way. You will never experience a difficulty, and you will never experience a difficulty that if you respond to it in accordance to this book, if you will respond to it rightly, that God can't get glory in your life through that thing that you're going through. I find several things about troubles. I find first the presence of troubles. Christianity doesn't mean that you'll never have any difficulties. You know, you might remember years ago, what was that guy, Oral Roberts, he used to come on with a big... If you're from my generation, you will understand this terminology, a Pepsodent smile. Somebody say amen right there if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, okay. A Pepsodent smile. He got all teeth, you know, all 85 of them or whatever there, you know. Look like a piano smiling at you. And he comes on and he said, something good is going to happen to you today. That may not be true. I've had a lot of days when something good didn't happen to me. In fact, you know something? Something bad may happen to you tomorrow. Some great difficulty may lie just ahead of you in your walk. And in salvation, you didn't move to some higher plane of existence where you're immune to hardships and difficulties, and that any time any little bump in the road comes, that a miracle is going to come flying out of heaven wrapped around a rock and hit you in the head. It's just not going to be that way. David was touched by he was really troubled by the prosperity of the wicked. In Psalm 73, he said those people said, their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. He said, those people, it seems like they're never in trouble. They have, and here I am with all this difficulty. You ever think about why good people get cancer? Why people get sick, and why godly people have to deal with hardships and things in their life? David thought about that. If you read Psalm 73, don't stop reading until you get to that verse where it says, until I went into the sanctuary, and then I understood therein. He said, God gave me the light on it. He showed me what it was about. David thought, David was a man after God's own heart, but he had a wayward son that would have killed him, old Absalom. Job suffered the loss of his health, his home, his family, his friends, all of his material wealth, and yet he had the grace to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I'm going to trust God regardless of the difficulties that I have to face. See, Paul's troubles that are given to us here, he said they involve suffering. There was this ordeal, this very painful ordeal, this picture here was suffering that he had to go through. It was severe. He said, I was pressed out of measure above strength. Pressure. Like he said, I felt like the sense of the wording there is like I've been in a vice. And that vice has been continually closed. The jaws are closing about me. And I'm pressed out of measure above strength there. Burdened to the limit of my human endurance. And he said that I even despaired of life. And really, I believe Paul thought that he was going to die. He may have wished that he could. There have been others in Scripture. Jonah wished that he could die for selfish reasons. Elijah wished that he could die under the juniper tree. And Paul said, I really believed that it might be, there was a death sentence in it, that I despaired even of life. And if not today, then probably one day you're going to have troubles. You may be in smooth water right now. You may be having no difficulty. But one day you may face some troubles. And I find the purpose of troubles when they come. Troubles come sometimes to chasten us and yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. And yet not all of them are that way, but whenever there's willful disobedience in our life, then God may bring chastening into our life, may bring some trouble our way. I certainly remember my dad, who's now 88 years old. I always say that my dad did not raise the children, he reared the children. You'll understand that if you think about it a minute. I always said I grew up thinking my brains were in my backside. My daddy'd say, boy, I'm going to beat some sense into you. Never hit me in the head one time. We don't spank our children, though, for being childish. We spank them for disobedience, and we let them know why we're doing it. And if that is the case and you're being chastened of God, He'll certainly let you know the reason. I've never been chastened of the Lord that the Spirit of God did not immediately let me know. I knew why it was happening. It was not a big secret. A Heavenly Father like our Heavenly Father would never give you a spiritual licking without telling you why He's doing it. But sometimes God will do that, and it yields peaceable fruit. It's evidenced by a change of heart and a change of desire. And whenever that change comes and that chastening can be relieved and the pressure of it can be relieved, and we can experience the love of our Lord in a refreshing way once again, and it conforms us to His image. It makes us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like the stonecutter that is trying his best to knock the edges off the stone there. He's conforming us, sometimes to chasten us, sometimes to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus there. The potter is a good example over in Jeremiah, where the potter puts the clay on the wheel, and he allows that clay to move, and he takes his hands and he sometimes moistens that clay. And God allows that sometimes. He'll moisten your eyes with tears, and He'll apply the pressure at just the right time in that right place. God knows how to get your attention. He knows how to move you. He knows the things that will motivate you. He knows the things that will cause you to change and respond and conform to the image of the masterpiece that He wants to build in your life then. Then sometimes God wants to condition us. Our experiences in life are there for a purpose and a reason. I'm amazed at how many of the things that I did in secular work many years ago, and all of the things I've done and as an associate pastor and a minister of youth and then as a pastor, how those experiences have come together and coalesced in the ministry that I'm involved in now. I mean, down to the selling hardware and building materials when I was a teenager and working at a little corner hardware store and all of those. There are things that God has brought me through and experiences that God brought me through that I couldn't have gotten that any other way. And now, even now, I work with kids and did all sorts of things and with all that. And I was an EMT years ago. And all of those things have come together to allow me to do things and allow me to use those things I've learned to try to minister in the day that I live. And God brings you through experiences so that you can do some things in your life sometimes. He wants to condition you for some kind of future work. He's building something in your life. Don't fight against the things that God brings in front of you and the circumstances that God puts in front of you sometimes. God sometimes uses troubles and difficulties to prepare us to serve Him. For example, I've never lost a son or a daughter in death. Now, if you have, you could minister to someone that is going through that same event in a different way than I could. I could only say, well, I can sympathize with you, and I can imagine what you might be going through. You would be able to say this: I know exactly how you feel. I know exactly what you're going through. Let me sit down and show you how God worked in my life and brought me through that. Your experiences, my experiences are different, and yet God will use those things and condition you for the work that He desires you to do. God may be getting you ready to be a great blessing to someone in some hardship or some difficulty or some circumstance or even some job that you're involved in right now. And then sometimes God will bring troubles into our life to check us, to test our faith, to find out what our spiritual metal, the temper of our spiritual metals. Just like Job, God proved him. And it is that God may put you, sometimes He may try to prove your spiritual metal. And He may try to use that so that He can put you on display and say to the lost and dying world, here's somebody that's got something that works. You know something, the world is not concerned about how your spiritual temperature is when the bank account's full and you just got a good report from the doctor and the car's running great and there's plenty of money in the checkbook and all those things. You know when He wants to see you? When you're scraping the bottom. He wants to know how your faith works at the funeral home, how it works at the clinic, how it works in the difficult days. Will it stand up to anger? Will it stand up to hardship? Will it stand up to layoffs? What is your faith going to do on those days? And the world looks at those things, and while they may not audibly say so, they're watching those things and testing us and seeing what we're made out of. And so sometimes God will use difficulties to check us and to confirm His power. Sometimes God just wants to show you what a great God He is, what a mighty God He is, and He'll take you to a place. He'll take you to an experience where He can show you, and you can come to the other side of that experience saying, what a mighty God I serve. But then I see the provision for troubles. I'm trying to hurry through this because I want to get us out on time. I know you got to go home and eat your ice cream, amen? All right. Had mine early. There is a provision. God made provision for troubles. Look at verse 4, if you will, with me, just for a moment here. And let's pick up a word there that I think is good. Who comforteth us in, what's the next word, church?
All.
Now, understand something. I love the way that God uses little words to say big things. Always. Like, for God so loved the world. That's a lot of eternity in that so. It stretches big. That's the biggest so in all of the human language. But this is all. Now, wait a minute. I might say all, and I might mean all, but I might not live up to it. For example, I might say to you, Brother Matt, I've got a barrel of apples out here in the car that I brought from Georgia, and I'd like for you to have all of them. And I go and I pour those apples into your basket, and I say, there they are. There's all of them. I want you to have every one of them. There it is right there. And then you drive away with a smile on your face, and I look in the barrel, and guess what? One apple got left. So it wasn't all, was it? And so my human imperfection, I might say all, and my intentions might be good, but it might not quite live up to it because I'm just a man. I've been disappointed by a lot of people in my life. You have too. But wait a minute, when God says all, that's all. That's all of it. You don't have to worry about that. When God says all, it's all. I mean, all tribulation, He says. All tribulation. That means all forms, all occurrences. In verse number 10, God's made provision for all time, past, present, future. This thing's going to work as long as we're here. It's going to work till Jesus comes back. There is a provision for your tribulations, your troubles and difficulties. Let me give you some of them. One provision we have is a provision of the Word of God, God's Word. God's given us a book. It's Emmanuel's Manual. It's a manual for life. It's a how-to book to live and to think and to understand. And while you may not have your exact situation, I can assure you that there are principles in this book that you're going to use when you come to difficulties in your life. You've got the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And I know he's speaking about the words exactly right there that he's written regarding the second coming of Christ. But at the same time, I believe that there's an application that we comfort one another with the Word of God, that the Scripture is there for our comfort. It is there for our provision in the time of difficulty. Then there's a provision of the Holy Spirit of God. He's the comforter. He is the paraclete, parakletos, the one that comes along beside us and helps us and strengthens us in the times of difficulty. And he makes things understandable. He illuminates things. So many functions of the Holy Spirit in the time of hardship and difficulty. There's the provision of the divine purpose. We may get out of His will, but we won't get out of His care. And there will always be a purpose, and God will always get glory if we respond rightly to Him. And thankfully, there's the provision of the future. Romans 8, verse 18, Paul says, for I reckon, he was from Alabama, you knew that, didn't you? For I reckon, that was one of my dad's favorite terms, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let me tell you, thank God it won't always be this way. All this political haggling and all of this nonsense that's going on in our country. Let me tell you, there's a real devil. And he's out to destroy this thing and destroy you and I or whatever. I'm telling you, it won't always be this way. There's a land that's fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Thank God for the prospect of the future. There's the provision of God's unfailing presence. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he said. I'm going to be there. You may go through some dark valleys, but you won't be by yourself. You may. Oh, David said, he said, no man cared for my soul. Oh, wait a minute, David. No man may have cared for you, but no one ever cared for me like Jesus did. And so it is that he will be there. Christ knows and feels our suffering. He understands it there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then there's provision of friendship. Galatians chapter 6, we're told, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. He said, you look out for each other. You pray for each other. What a blessing, prayer time. Just to be able to pray for each other and to share our hearts and say, hey, pray about this. Pray for me. Pray for this need. There's the provision of friendship in God's family. And then finally, there's the provision of his grace. Old Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I've got mine. It's called maybe the same as Paul's. I've got a pretty bad visual problem. I have very poor vision, and depth perception is not very good, and esotropia and nystagmus and 14 other things are wrong with my eyes. And I understand that Paul said, and I've asked God to take that thing away at different times, but Paul prayed. He said, Lord, I got this thorn. I wish you'd do something about it. But he said, I found out something. His grace was sufficient. His grace will be sufficient. Oh, you may go through a tough time, but I'm going to tell you something. If you'll look, if you'll wait long enough, and if you're truly born again, his grace will be sufficient. He may not take away that cancer. He may not heal you. He may not answer that prayer. But he will give you grace to go through that thing. And when it's done, he'll get glory in your walk and in your life for the things that you do. I'll give you one last little story and I'm done. There's a workman one night that was up on the... He was up on the 10th story. He was a foreman, and he had been doing it for a long time. He climbed the girders and tiptoed across them like a child all of his days and never worried about it. And he'd already released all the crew that day and let them go. And he's up on the 10th floor, and he's on the girding, and he's doing a few last things and getting ready to take the elevator down and lock it, send it back to the top and lock it. And the unthinkable happened. And he fell from a girder. And as he did, he grabbed over the side. He reached and grabbed hold of the side. And he said, I'll pull myself up and I'll right myself and throw my leg back up over this girder and I'll be up and then I'll head on down and head home. But he could not. And he began suddenly to think about his family and his wife and all of the things. And fear gripped his heart. And he was so terrified and of the thought of plummeting to his death and leaving behind his family and all of the things that raced through his mind, and his grip was decaying every moment until finally he released the girder and he fell 10 inches to a platform right below him. I think sometimes when we get all bent out of shape, we just feel like where's God in the dark days of life, he's a lot closer than you think he is. He's a lot closer than you think he is.